Philip Van Winkle is studying the book of 2 Peter. Here's Philip.
In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, Peter writes, "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." Now here, we're still in reference to these false teachers, those ones who are deceiving the early Christians. And he compares them now to brute beasts. He says they're good for nothing but to be destroyed. Well, how are they going to die? Well, God's going to take care of them one day. But notice Peter says, they don't even understand. They don't understand what Christianity really is. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They say stuff like, perhaps you've heard this before, "Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but..." And then you can fill in the blank with whatever. I remember one Saturday morning I was going to meet with a Pentecostal lady, and after having a long Bible study with her, she said to me, "You know, I wouldn't trade this feeling for all the Bibles in the world." Well, no, of course you wouldn't. Because you filled your own belly. You fooled your own spirit, and one day you will die, as it says right here. How are you going to die? Eventually, he says, they will die in their own corruption. That's what's waiting for them. Eventually, they will die in their own corruption. Look at verse 13. "And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." He says, oh, they've been guilty of defrauding. Now they're receiving the wages of their wrongdoing. These false teachers are among you. And they're deceiving. They're deceitful. And he says, they are spots among the clean. You see, you and I might not see them. You and I might see them just like one of us. But from God's vantage point, they're spots among that which is clean. Picture, if you will, a large white sheet. Perfectly clean, brand new sheet. He says these false teachers are nothing more than big black spots on that sheet. Now, speaking of false teachers, you remember in Jude, the book of Jude, turn over there if you're following along in your Bibles, the one chapter book, and in verse 10 it says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." Again, we're talking about false teachers. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." These are spots, he says, Jude verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about by of winds, and trees whose fruit wherewith, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, it's the same distinction. It's probably a different people, yes, but they had something in common. They were trying to lead God's people astray. And God says they're good for nothing. They're black spots, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Verse 14, having eyes, notice, full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Notice verse 14, having eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. Here's a man, every time he looks at a woman, he can't look at any woman without having some disgusting or lascivious or crude sexual desire towards her. You remember what Jesus said about that person in Matthew chapter 5? He says in verse 28, "But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman and lusts after her hath committed all adultery with her already in his heart." They are beguilers, he says. Beguiling, that is the word enticing or alluring or to to entice by bait, to catch by using bait. These men never cease, as they seem to be unable to stop. They allure, they entice, they're unstable, always looking for someone to feast on, always trying to share their false ideas with other people. You've probably seen them in the church. They come and they be nice to you and they talk real sweet and soft and, oh, I love this guy and I love that guy. And very soon they start talking bad about people, trying to get you in their camp. Notice what it says, and they exercise. This word is the Greek word gymnazo, which is where the Greeks would train. It's, in fact, this word gymnazo is the very word that we get gymnasium from, or gymnastic. These men had their hearts exercised in covetousness. They were constantly going about seeking who they could bring on to fool. They had practiced this sin for so long that their hearts had been trained in covetousness. They are children of disobedience. They have stopped obeying. They went along just following their own selves. And notice, they cannot. Not that they're not able to, but because of how they've lived, how they've trained themselves, they refuse to stop. Having eyes full of adultery, as long as they continue to have their eyes full of adultery, they never will stop sinning. But what if they turn their backs on having eyes full of adultery? Could they be forgiven? Well, sure they could. Just like those that Paul wrote about in his day in 1 Corinthians who had done all kinds of deceitful and immoral things, but they had stopped following it. But these people that we're talking about are people who don't even care to give up what they're doing. They don't want to give up what they're doing. And look at what it says in verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way. They've gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who love the wages of unrighteousness. What does it say? They forsook what? They forsook the right way. Folks, not all roads lead to heaven. You might hear it said, well, you just go your way and do your thing, and I'll just go my way and do my thing, and we'll just see each other in heaven. No. There is one right way, and it is God's way. It is singular. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way of death. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. It's singular. People have stopped today, even in the Lord's church, they have stopped preaching the plan. And they say, well, we don't preach the plan here. We preach the man. Oh, of course, they're referencing Jesus. Let me get this straight. I have no problem with someone preaching Christ, but I want you to know something. If you don't have a plan, you have no access to the man. And people who at one time stood for the truth, they've given it up. They decided they know what's best. They decided that the way is only a way. When they do that, verse 15 says, they have forsaken the right way. And they go astray. Folks, there are not two ways. There's one. When you stop abiding by it, when you stop living by it, you have gone astray. And these false teachers will try to tell you that there's more ways. You know, it reminds me of what Jeremiah said long, long ago, before Christ ever walked on this earth. He says, in fact, if you have your Bibles, why don't you just open Jeremiah chapter 6. We're going to have a little bit of a reading here. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10. Jeremiah writing, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of fury, of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. Verse 12. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, from the least of them even to the greatest of them. Everyone, verse 13, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They heal the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Verse 15, were they ashamed? Here's what we're talking about. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they will fall among them that fall at the time I visit. They'll be cast down, saith the Lord. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord. Notice, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk in it. Ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. No, we don't want to walk in the way God told us to walk. We don't accept His authority anymore. And so in verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law, but they reject it. You reject the good way. If you reject God's way, you better notice what's going to happen. God will reject you. And so in verse 20, he says, to what purpose come there to me an incense from Sheba, from the sweet cane of the far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices are not sweet to me. You think that you're going to go ahead and just offer me whatever you want because you want to offer it? Forget it, God says. I'm not going to accept it. That's exactly what happens today. People will say, well, I just don't believe that that's what God would do. Well, folks, if you have stopped believing what God would do, then start believing it again. Otherwise, Peter says, you have gone and fallen away. Folks, I'm going to stay in the right way. It is the good way, Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says. It is where God is. If you and I will walk in that right way, we will find rest for our souls.
If you would like to learn more about God's Word with a free Bible correspondence course, then write us at Truth for the World, P.O. Box 5048, Duluth, Georgia, 30096, the United States of America. Or you can visit us online at tftw.org. Truth for the World is a work of the Duluth Church of Christ and is brought to you by Churches of Christ throughout the world, that you may know the truth, which all the world must obey in order to have eternal life. Join us next time with Truth for the World.
Infinite love.